Hello everybody, this is Salil Tripathi on a warm sunny day in Paris in spring, and I'm sitting with Catherine Dubby. She manages the coordination of national contact points at the OECD. OECD is of course the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development, a group of nations which work towards economic prosperity and growth and development. And national contact points of course are very important because that's one of the non-judicial remedies that people often turn to for instances of human rights abuses. So, Catherine, my first question to you is, can you describe how the NCP process works at present and what exactly your role is?
Absolutely. Thanks, Salil. So, national contact points come from the OECD guidelines for multinational enterprises.
Which are 40 years old?
There's
some anniversary coming up.
They're going to be
40. Absolutely. There's
40
an anniversary coming up.
In
yes.
June, exactly. Yes. So they were created in 1976. They've been updated 5 times since then, most recently in 2011 when a human rights chapter was added and concepts around due diligence were clarified and strengthened. So what's really interesting about these standards, which are binding on governments in terms of promoting them to companies, is that they have this NCP mechanism. Now, in most instances, NCPs will be a government office which is designed to do 2 things. 1, promote the guidelines to business, and 2, receive complaints or cases when people or NGOs or trade unions or anyone really feel that the guidelines have not been respected in practice. And they cover, they're very broad, they cover 11 chapters, all different areas of business ethics, corporate responsibility, from, as I mentioned, human rights, but also labor, environment, consumer, taxation, a whole bunch of topics.
And how has been the process so far? I believe each country has its own NCP.
Correct.
And people can go to that if they have a legitimate concern about a particular company.
That's absolutely right. So there are 46 countries that have signed up to the guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
That's 34 OECD members plus 12 additional countries. And in each of those places, there will be an NCP. Now, the models that are used by governments vary considerably because the guidelines are not prescriptive on what the NCP should look like. So there's there are a few countries where the NCP is completely independent, in a sense that there are independent members who represent the NCP from different areas of society. But the NCP is supported by someone in a secretariat within a ministry.
Mm-hmm.
That's one model. There are models that bring together different government departments. There are models that are tripartite. So there's a whole host of different models.
Is that a problem?
In what sense?
In the sense that there is no consistency. And also, I think there is one criticism that some of these NCPs are housed in trade or commerce ministries rather than labor ministry or home ministry or something that would have a greater awareness of human rights issues.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I think it depends on where what your starting point is. So if you look at what the guidelines ask for, they ask for an NCP to be created so that they can promote the guidelines and receive complaints. They also say that NCPs have to follow the core criteria, which means they have to be visible, accessible, transparent, and accountable. And there's also special criteria with regards dealing with cases. So if they can do that, if they can recognize that those core criteria are being implemented, then the structure shouldn't necessarily be a problem in and of itself. And as I said, we're seeing more trends around more government departments being involved, more stakeholders being involved. Some NCPs have created oversight bodies, which is quite interesting as well, so that there might be a review process afterwards. So there's lots of different ways in which it can happen. But you're absolutely right. There has been, over the years, a lot of points raised by civil society and by trade unions. And one of the things that gave NCPs a real boost last year was when the G7 leaders committed to strengthening NCPs and to leading by example. And in response, the OECD created an action plan, which has recently been adopted, which covers doing peer reviews of NCPs, capacity building and building tools, and really acting as a support function for these entities.
So in a way, what the NCPs do is a role that is envisaged in the guiding principles for business and human rights of an effective remedy where none exists, at least in the non-judicial sense, in certain kinds of abuses. I appreciate that, you know, with grave abuses, it may not be the right forum for that. But for certain kinds of abuses which are not of a grave nature, the NCP can play such a role. Is that a fair way of describing it?
I think it's really, really important that we recognize that NCPs are designed to step in or to receive a complaint at an early point in the process. When situations have become extremely serious, as you mentioned, grave human rights abuses, then of course there are formal judicial processes
right.
that can be enacted. That's important. But NCPs are designed to, in the guidelines we call it, use of their good offices,
mm-hmm.
which is basically mediation, conciliation.
Right.
You know, there's a whole process set out so that when an NCP receives a complaint, they decide whether it would be useful for them to play that sort of facilitation role between, let's say, the company and the community or the company and the NGO, and whether, you know, an agreement can be reached. And some NCPs now are using professional mediators to do that, who will come up with the terms of reference, etc. But I think it is designed to not be a judicial process by any means, and get in there at an early stage where the risk of conflict
escalating is much less, I suppose.
Well,
yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, that's wonderful. Now, one more question would be about using it and seeing it as a remedy. What would you want civil society organizations to do in being part of the process? How should they be using it in an ideal way?
Yeah, I think at the OECD, so we work very closely with OECD Watch, which brings together a large number of NGOs, civil society organizations. We also work very closely with the Trade Union Advisory Committee, and same for business, so TUAC and BIAC. So we have sort of structured stakeholder processes that help with this. But I think, it's great when there can be connections between the NCP in certain countries and civil society communities. You know, we try and, at the Secretariat, we work a lot with our stakeholders, as I mentioned, but there are also various ways in which organizations can input, not just in terms of bringing forward a complaint, but also raising awareness among a business audience as to what's expected. So whether that's pointing to the OECD guidelines or the sector-specific work that the OECD has done on different sectors that's out there, or indeed the UN Guiding Principles, or whatever the international standards might be, ILO, etc. Just raising awareness with the business community as to what's expected, I think, would be helpful.
And how's the uptake from businesses? We focused quite a bit on the civil society.
Yeah.
How have the businesses been cooperating with it?
I mean, I think it varies from country to country. Like I said, we would work through BIAC for those relationships, which is a business association of business associations.
Mm-hmm.
But there are, I think, like with all companies, the quest is for clarity.
Right.
Right? And so communicating what an NCP is, what its role is, what its function is very important, so that it isn't the case that a company only learns about this when they receive a complaint, for instance. That's not necessarily in anyone's interest. So the more that the companies can be aware of the guidelines, the individual guidance, where we work a lot with companies already, and the NCP process and what it's trying to achieve, and the fact that it is designed to be a constructive process for all, I think that would all be very helpful.
Thanks very much indeed, and all the best with the anniversary coming up, and good luck with all the work ahead.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.